This is Phoenix FM.
And it's just coming up to 11:50 on Phoenix 98 FM. Now, I should be joined on the line, as I am every month, by Sylvia Kent, and it's the Virtual Book Club. So writer and journalist Sylvia's on the line. So how are you, Sylvia?
I'm very well, thank you. Working really hard at the moment. We've got another Zoom meeting coming up this afternoon, and I get a tiniest bit stressed in case something goes wrong, as it has.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really that keen on Zoom meetings, to be honest. I find them a bit peculiar. Mm. So anyway, we're going to be talking to our guest writer just after 12 o'clock, who is Christine Brewster. But before we do that, you're obviously with Brentwood Writers Circle and Billericay Readers Group. So what's been going on with both of those?
Yeah, well, as you know, we must keep in touch. All the groups that we belong to, they will fade away if we don't keep in touch somehow. And although I don't really like Zooming very much, because now and again it's gone a bit wrong, my fault, but it's becoming more successful, and we had a really good gathering yesterday, a virtual gathering, of course, with Billericay. The team came on talking about books that we've read and what we're going to be reading in November. This one you will love. No Sister of Mine is going to be the book written by Vivian Brown, mm-hmm. who's one of our London members at the Society of Women Writers and Journalists. She's a great novelist, and I'll be very interested to hear how my local colleagues, will take to her writing. Mm. I think you'll like it. And I'll tell you about that next month.
Yeah.
But we have been meeting in Lake Meadows. And as it started to get a bit chilly, we decided, right, inside.
Yeah.
With regard to Brentwood Writers, yes, we still meet. And for a very good reason. Virtual again. Because we've got this anthology, which is nearly ready to be published. And our chairman, Patrick Forsyth, he's been on your programme,
yes, and
their committee. They're all ready for the printer, so it would be rather nice to talk about that and get one or two members on to tell you how they put it all together. We all gave a story, so let's see how that goes. We've been on your sister programme, The Arts, on a Sunday.
Yeah.
That was rather fun, talking about our books and what we do. And there are so many people that want to write their life story now, including lovely little Mike Edmonds, you know, who appeared on your show.
Okay.
Some years back. Mm-hmm. And we had a good chat with him last Sunday. So he gave us a little bit of life in Southend-on-Sea and what he does. He does a lot for charity. So that was lovely. Society of Women Writers and Journalists have been busy again. Webinars now. I don't know if you've had some of those involvement in those. But we've had some fairly famous writers on. So we had Princess Diana's brother, Earl Spencer.
Yep.
A whole hour talking about his writing life. I didn't realise that he was an author.
No.
But he's got a new book out, and that's called The White Ship, and it's just up my street because it's about history, and you know I love history. Yeah, I'll be reading that maybe towards the end of the year. I've managed to get into Brentwood to do more signing.
Yep.
I get invited by the bookshops, Waterstones and W.H. Smith, and sign books and... Have a little chat with the people who sell them, which is lovely.
Mm.
You know, they're so sweet to us in Brentwood. And that, as you know, is 50, at Brentwood in 50 buildings. I still work for Archant and as a columnist and talk online about Essex past. I think that's it. Oh, Billericay Fun Walk.
You very
kindly covered that. Thank you so much. For John Barron, our Member of Parliament. We've been doing that since 2002.
Mm.
There's 100 charities involved, and although I didn't walk myself, my lovely friend who's coming on in a minute, Chris Christine Brewster, she did. And she's going to tell you all about it with her dog, a lovely greyhound called Ray. As I say, she's a good friend, a lovely writer. And I think I sent you some funk covers of her books.
Yes.
Die with the Greyhounds. So there we go. That's me for this month.
And if you've not, you might not have read this one, but I actually bought the book by Lucy Folly, and it's been the number one Sunday Times bestseller, and it's called The Guest List.
Oh.
And if you do like your Agatha Christie,
yes,
she is very, well, kind of similar. I'll give you a little outline. The wedding cake has barely been cut when one of the guests is found dead.
Oh.
And as a storm unleashes its fury on the island, everyone is trapped. They all have a secret, all have a motive. One guest won't be leaving this wedding alive. A gripping, twisty murder mystery. Oh. And it's a number one best-selling author. And she also wrote The Hunting Party.
What's her name?
Her name is Lucy Folley, F-O-L-E-Y.
Lovely.
So it's a little recommendation. It's been a number one, and I really enjoyed it. I finished it over the weekend.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I was going to say, let me borrow it, but I can always buy it. And that sounds great. I do like Agatha Christie.
It is very Agatha Christie-ish.
Yes.
But so obviously set in modern times.
Over the last, how many years we've been doing it?
Oh, it must be 10.
Nine?
Must be 9 or 10.
Yeah.
We should have, in fact, I should try and find out the first time you were here so we can actually do like a celebration.
Well, I was, dare I say, I was there before it became Phoenix.
Oh, yes, you were, weren't you? Yeah.
1996.
I wasn't born then.
August.
I wasn't born then.
Well, you know, I'm very, very old.
You're not old.
Oh, I am. But keep fit, very fit, actually.
Mm.
And, yes, it'll be lovely to talk with you and with some of our other friends, perhaps, November, December.
I love local radio because it's radio and it's local.
And it is now part two of the Virtual Book Club. We spoke to Sylvia Kent just before 12 o'clock. And now I'm joined by our guest writer, Christine Brewster. So lovely to talk to you, Christine.
Good afternoon, Michelle. Thank you for inviting me.
You're most welcome. Now, we're going to be talking about your writing. But first of all, you were the curator at the Cater Museum in Billericay. So if people don't know about the museum, tell us about, obviously, your role and tell us about what's in the museum.
Well, the museum was a marvelous gift to Billericay by Mrs. Cater, in memory of her husband, William Alexander Cater, who was a local historian and collector of objects. And she wanted the town to have a free and independent museum and set up a very nice museum with the help of the first curator, Harry Richman, in its current location on the High Street. And it's gone on for a number of years with a new curator now that I'm no longer working. Kate is there at the moment. But it was the most incredible experience to be able to go into a building whose timbers had been first put up as secondhand timbers in 1588.
Wow.
And then had a bit of a facelift in the 18th century.
Yeah. And there's gardens there too, isn't there?
Yes, we turned the gardens to the back of the museum into a period garden. And within the rooms, you have room settings, parlor, kitchen, bedroom, as well as a number of other display rooms.
And there's a very famous sheep. Do you know what? It's come into my head. There is a famous sheep there, isn't there?
Yes, there's a two-headed lamb.
That's it. Do you know what? It suddenly popped into my head. What's the name for the two-headed lamb?
Well, it never had a name while I was there. So if it has one now, I don't know. But it's funny. Everyone remembers the animal.
Mm.
Before working in the museum in Billericay, I was administrator for the three museums in Macclesfield, and there we had a stuffed panda. And when you talk to people, they always remember going as a child and seeing the two-headed lamb or the stuffed panda. never the really unusual objects, but the ones that were closest to their hearts.
Yes. Oh, I think they might have named the sheep, but I'm not sure. I must look that up and find it out a little bit later.
I'd like to know, too.
Now, with your writing, what was the first piece that you actually wrote?
Well, outside of small things over the years, like a chapter in someone else's book or an article, I did four children's books. I call them the Rocky books, because they're based, and they're totally true, based on the first rescue greyhound that I adopted.
Yeah.
And they were originally written because my dear friend Denise in America, we've known each other since we were 4 years old, her daughter is a special needs teacher, and they were written for her to use.
Yeah.
And they have since gone on to assist not only special needs, but the sale of the books helps two charities, the Remus Memorial Horse Sanctuary and Clark's Farm Greyhound Rescue. And the books, because they are easy to digest, each chapter can be dealt with on its own. They have gone to three care homes for dementia patients.
And how difficult is it to write books, because these books are, you say they're more for children, these books?
These are for children.
How difficult is it? Because it must be, obviously being an adult, writing for children, how do you get into the mindset of a child?
Well, I had trained originally as a history teacher, and I had worked with special needs children. So it was a case of making it simple vocabulary, words that could be broken down to syllables, everything easy to comprehend, something that would grab their attention. And it was easy for me because of the dog. The dog's adventures gave me the material to work with.
And why greyhounds? Because you've got a greyhound, haven't you?
I have.
So yes. What is it about? Because, you know, people have their dogs. I mean, I've not got one, but I love pug dogs. I absolutely love them. I don't know why. But do you know why you've got why greyhounds are so close to your heart?
Oh, I do. very sadly, I lost my husband Ray to cancer. And I commented to a dear friend afterwards, the house was very empty, and I wished I could have a dog, but because I'm very allergic to dogs, I couldn't. And my friend said, try a greyhound.
Yeah.
The fur and the skin are different. And I went to Clark's Farm Greyhound Rescue, and I said, can I be a volunteer dog walker? Can I get covered in dog hair? And if this works, can I adopt a small female? And to this day, they say to me, has that small female? Because the dog I adopted was one of the largest males they had. And my current dog, many years later, is a huge male as well.
Yeah, and they are beautiful dogs. And basically, the rescue centre, is this where you've had sort of great greyhound racing, and then once they can't race anymore, this they're looked after by the charity and then adopted out?
Yes, there are a number of kennels throughout the country and a number in Essex. And I think they make the most wonderful, calm companion dogs. I have now got my third greyhound. And my first two, I was still working in the museum, and they would come into my office. They'd go up the stairs, lay down on their bed, and sleep, and I would take them out to Mill Meadows at lunchtime. They wouldn't leave my office. They never made a sound. They were the perfect companions for someone who, living alone, needed to take a dog to work.
Yes.
And because I'm not allergic to them, to me, it was wonderful.
You mentioned, when we were just talking off air, you mentioned about a school in Africa.
Oh, yes, yes. a very good friend, a lady named Jenny, that my husband and I both knew individually before we met each other. She passed away shortly after my husband and left me some money in her will.
Mm.
And that was the beginning. My husband and I had sponsored students in the Ivory Coast because we have a friend who's a priest there. And with the help from Jenny's legacy, Father Clement and I built the Jenny Ray Catholic Primary School in the village of Yerusano.
Mm.
I've been out there twice to visit them.
Yeah.
And it's a very humbling experience. We don't know how lucky we are.
Mm. Yeah. And it's called Jenny Ray after, Jenny obviously after your friend, and Ray after your husband.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is absolutely wonderful. So if people want to get involved with the Clark's Farm and Remus, that they do have obviously an online presence, so you can find the details there. But they also do pet adoption as well.
Yes. Clark's Farm, under the COVID restrictions, I believe more people have gone looking to have a pet.
Mm.
And they have been inundated with requests. We just hope this carries on. There are so many of these creatures, and the greyhounds, unlike their image, do not need a lot of exercise.
Mm.
Because I'm not young anymore, as you know, and my dog doesn't need an awful amount.
Mm.
They're raised to be sprinters.
Yeah.
And they don't have any more stamina than I do.
Mm.
We recently took part in the fun walk.
Yes.
We walked for the Remus Horse Sanctuary. And I did a 3-mile walk, but I had it go past my house on the last lap so I could stop in and take my dog, Ray, on this last lap with me.
Excellent.
And you can tell by his name that when I saw him in the rescue center, I couldn't leave him there. Both the Clark's Farm Greyhound Rescue and the Remus Horse Sanctuary actively encouraged people to sponsor. At Clark's Farm,
mm-hmm.
every now and again, you will find a dog that really can't fit into the outside world.
Mm.
I used to work with one that was terrified of men, just horrendously frightened.
Yeah.
He was so frightened, we saw a man while we were walking one day, and he dove into a ditch to hide and dragged me with him. So every now and then there will be one that really is better kept in kennels,
mm.
and they require as much help as they can get to sponsor them.
Now, the books, Rocky the Retired Greyhound, and you will find the other books by Christine Brewster, so if you want to check out for those. I have to ask you, Christine, you have the most amazing accent. Whereabouts are you from?
I'm from Detroit, Michelle.
Ah.
But I've been in this country 45 years.
Yeah, you've just got a nice little, just a really relaxing voice. Have you been told that before? You should be do therapy for people with your voice. Lovely, relaxing.
Well, thank you very much. You know, they say that things go in circles, and I first fell in love with history going to the Detroit Institute of Arts
mm.
on a school trip as a child, and fairly recently, I go back almost every year to visit my mother. I should be there now, but I couldn't go because of COVID.
Yeah.
On a previous trip, I was able to help them identify a medieval reliquary. But also, I have a friend who is an antique dealer in America.
Yeah.
And on one visit, she asked if I would take back a Stella Crofts pottery statue to, oddly enough, the buyer was in Billericay.
Oh, right.
And Stella Crofts, we have a number of her things in the Cater Museum, and she was a very famous local pottery animal artist.
Mm.
And I brought the piece back for her, and it was the statue of the Greyhounds.
Oh, wow.
Purely coincidence.
Yes, that is a little bit of a circle, isn't it? That is a circle. It's Christine, it's been wonderful to talk to you. Hopefully we'll talk again, maybe hopefully next year, when I can have guests in the studio. It'd be great again, because at the moment, obviously COVID, I haven't got any guests in. But thank you very much for chatting to us today. And if you want to find the books Rocky the Retired Greyhound, you will just type in Christine Brewster and you should be able to find the books. But thanks very much for talking to us today, Christine.
Thank you very much.
You have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Just give me